This is the Afternoon Drive Podcast from KMJ and KMJNow.com.
205 Newstalk 580 1059 KMJ. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Wednesday installment of your Afternoon Drive. The phone numbers here are 490-5858. Toll free, you can join us at 800-776-5858. You'll find the show on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram at Drive KMJ. Joshua Weekly is standing by to screen your calls this afternoon as I join E. Curtis Johnson back in the KMJ studios.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. Just a quick note and a follow-up on traffic with Greg Lane. On my way in, I found Palm and Shaw operating as a four-way stop. The signals were completely out, and there were power interruptions going on inside Fig Garden Village. I'd like to thank the good people at Chipotle for managing to get my burrito out the door last. They were hustling, man. They were doing all the online orders, using up all the food, but they had locked the doors because they weren't sure when the kitchen would be back to food safety standards. So they locked the doors. They turned business away until they know for sure they're stable.
Wow.
But they were hustling, man. They had a full crew in there doing everything that needed doing.
Well, it is technically fast food, so you know they got it to you on time.
The honest to God, the Chipotle app might be the single greatest source of last second, oh my God, how did I forget to eat lunch again nutrition in my life? Because it's close enough to the commute. It only adds like 3 minutes to me getting to work to get in there. And they've never missed a deadline on that app, man. When they tell you it's going to be ready at 1:25, it will be in the rack at 1:24.
Well, that's good, because if you're late for the show getting food, you and I are going to have words. We get along pretty well, but unless, of course, you bring me something. Then I'll go, oh, well, why, thank you.
Guac, no guac?
Guac, yes. Definitely guac.
So if you are passing through Palm and Shot, just be aware that traffic was a little wonky earlier. I know Greg's talking with the good folks at Fresno Police about what's going on there, and he'll get you updated here in just a couple of minutes. I was going to start with the shocking revelation that I found something to agree with Gavin Newsom on, and we will come back around to that. But two more stories, three more, have been published about the situation at Bitwise in downtown Fresno. A Texas company that financed five of the Bitwise Industries real estate acquisitions here in California has filed a lawsuit against the tech firm, alleging that Bitwise improperly sought out loans and was unauthorized in listing properties for sale. And Reed Stone over at SJV Sun does the lifting on this version. The lawsuit was filed in Fresno County Superior Court today, and it follows, of course, the news that Bitwise furloughed their entire workforce. The real estate investment company's name is NICBite LLC. They're headquartered in Houston. And the allegation here is that, I'm going to call it NICBite for lack of understanding to the contrary, but it might be NICBite. If I've got it wrong, don't sue me. I'm not doing it to be a jerk.
Yeah, because they are lawyers, so you know, be careful there, sir.
NICBite alleges that it served as Bitwise's financing partner for a significant portion of the California real estate portfolio. They allege that they partnered with Bitwise through a joint venture in June of 22 with NICBite, NICBite, contributing 95% of the capital to acquire five buildings in Fresno, Bakersfield, and Oakland. The estimated sum, according to the two, NICBite was $35 million. The allegation goes on to claim that Bitwise, through a subsidiary corporation, contributed another 5% of cash to the venture, which they then formed a new LLC, NICWise, or NICWise, and that would serve as the day-to-day manager of the properties, along with being the corporate manager of the joint venture. So Bitwise cash contributions to this was $2.2 million. The complaint goes on to allege that the decision-making authority vested in Bitwise as the corporate manager was curtailed under the joint venture agreement. And so what Nick Byte is claiming is that Bitwise, heading into the Memorial Day weekend, had taken out approximately $30 million in loans, ostensibly secured by the company's properties, and listing four of them for sale without the investor's approval or consent. And so from the suit, it says Bitwise's flagrant deception and unauthorized actions, especially its taking out approximately $30 million in loans, again, ostensibly secured by the company's properties, listing four of them for sale without the investor's approval or consent, each individually and in aggregate, constitute material and uncurable breaches and defaults under the joint venture agreement. That's a $30 million lawsuit.
That's a big chunk change. And that completely changes the story from yesterday. The story from yesterday was, we don't really know what's happening here. There could be other possibilities, blah, 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 blah. You got a lawsuit that quick on the heels of that announcement yesterday. That sounds like that Bitwise actions of furloughing everyone and what they did on Tuesday was, well, I think they knew that this was coming.
So jumping over to the reporting from GV Wire, the lawsuit cites media reports of the trouble at Bitwise, asks the Fresno County Superior Court for swift action, and one quote taken from the lawsuit, this is, boy, in a court filing, this is rough language, quote, defendants cannot be trusted. That's a hell of a thing to just write directly into a lawsuit.
Yeah, that's a litigant there that has some evidence that they are not afraid of bringing forward and making a statement like that. When you start out with defendants cannot be trusted, you got to back that up with some evidence, and clearly they've got it. No lawyer would put that in a public release like this without having serious evidence of things not on the up and up.
So the lawsuit is obviously focused at Bitwise Industries Incorporated plus nine other companies associated with Bitwise. I don't know if they're subsidiary or not. The suit lists five causes of action, including breach of contract, forgive me. And the complaining party, Nick Byte, is asking a judge to prevent any of the Bitwise companies named in the suit from any other financial dealings, and they want the assets frozen and a complete accounting of Bitwise Industries, Inc.'s financial records.
Boy, this is a lot coming on the heels of yesterday. There is no way that this was filed after the announcement of Bitwise yesterday. This is obviously things that they were preparing from last week.
I would assume so. I mean, this is a 25-page lawsuit complaint, but they're citing reporting from Sunday the 29th. So this lawsuit was filed this week. They may have had some idea that something was going on, but it's the press on this that motivated them to run this up in front of the court today.
Yeah, no doubt about that. But they didn't start this proceeding as of yesterday. This was clearly stuff that they were getting ready for from last week. I can't speak to all of that.
So from, good Lord, page 5, line 12. Only on May 26, 2023, did plaintiff discover the true extent of WR members' bad acts and material breaches.
Well, there you have it.
So the subsidiaries, which are managed by the company, had taken out several unauthorized loans allegedly and invalidly secured by each of the subsidiaries' five properties, and also listed four of the properties for sale, all of this being unilaterally conducted and without obtaining the requisite approval from plaintiff or even notifying or informing plaintiff of these acts. Plaintiff would not have consented or agreed. You know what goes through my head reading this?
What's that?
There's 900 families in Fresno that are learning about this as these stories break. There's 900 families in Fresno right now that it's starting to dawn on them that this might not be a temporary furlough. Excuse me, there's 300 families in Fresno, 900 families across the country.
Yeah, that's a logical conclusion. I mean, this is the other shoe falling, as the expression goes.
As yet, this is all allegations. It is all speculation. I mean, the lawsuit's been filed. That's not speculation. At this time, Bitwise has not had a day in court. Now, we're going to reach out to the attorneys for Nickwise LLC, Nickwise Incorporated LLC. There's so many little incorporated entities in this thing. You're just going to have to forgive me. We're reaching out to the plaintiffs in this thing. We're going to reach out to Jake and Irma over at Bitwise. I want to talk to everybody involved in this. I want to understand what the hell's going on. We got 900 families nationwide, at least 300 of those in Fresno. I wouldn't be shocked to hear 500 in Central California when you add in the Bakersfield properties. It's scary stuff, man.
It's scary stuff, and people are going to be hurting over this for a long time.
It's the Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ online. You'll find us at kmjnow.com.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Our house is a mess. Come on in.
I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. This is the Afternoon Drive. That is Philip Teresi. My name is E. Curtis Johnson. The story is out today and getting thicker about what's happening at Bitwise. Our news partner, KMPH Fox 26, has reported that hundreds of employees are now without a job and wondering what's next after Bitwise Industry announced it's furloughing its entire workforce. It also made it clear that it was a layoff, or it was not a layoff, but a furlough in the email that went out yesterday. On social media sites, several people questioned what the company actually did. Bitwise, of course, is a tech company that focuses on underserved communities, helps startup companies, and is known to inspire the next generation of tech leaders and entrepreneurs through training. Mayor Jerry Dyer has chimed in on this. Reminding us that, like many in Fresno, we are surprised and saddened to hear about the financial difficulties that led Bitwise to issue furloughs to all of its employees. It is our hope that Bitwise will be able to navigate successfully through these uncertain and difficult financial times. Dyer says that the city awarded Bitwise a $1 million grant for a small business digital endowment. So far, the city has paid only half of that grant. Obviously, it's waiting to see whether or not the program is going to continue for the other half. The real story on this is the families affected by these furloughs, not only in Fresno, but for all of the other communities they're involved in. We're just the epicenter of it.
Yeah. I don't want to be the one to tell people there's no hope. I don't know that there's no hope. The information that I have on this, look, what Joshua is emailing Jake and Irma right now to try and get him to come on the show. We're also reaching out to the plaintiff's attorneys in this suit out of Houston over the $30 million in financial stuff, real estate stuff. What we know is rumors and allegations. And that worries me because look, talk about two businesses that are as different as could possibly be and still have articles of incorporation filed with the county or up in Sacramento. Bitwise and Tasty Thai. We got this family-owned restaurant here in Fresno. Somebody was aggrieved because of the way a neighbor was treating a dog. And horribly, that evolved into this false accusation that this Thai restaurant was harming animals, that they were cooking and eating animals. And so now you've got this company, that's this mom-and-pop restaurant that has announced that they are done. They are out. Too many threats, too much hate, that they simply cannot risk the safety of the parents of the guy who was running the joint to go in there and try and run a family restaurant when people are running amok accusing them of a weird racist stereotype. I don't want to be one of those idiots on Yelp screaming about a restaurant I never went to doing a thing that these people clearly would never do. There's another story that just broke, and this is where we get into the rumors and the innuendo. Two people off the record claiming that Jake Soberall was pitching bridge loans with sky-high interest rates. Now, this was something that the guys at The Sun had alluded to either earlier this week or the end of last week. Now there's a more comprehensive story here from GV Wire. One of these people says that Soberall, just a few weeks ago, was pursuing a $2 million loan with 12% interest to be paid back in 120 days. In other words, for this $2 million loan, the lender would receive $240,000 return on investment on top of the principal in just 4 months. If you're playing that out to an annual interest rate, that's 36%. I know people with 550 credit scores that are doing better than that getting a used car. Another prospect alleges that Jake Soberall initially came to them for $5 million. They told him no. He came back again asking for $1 million. And again, this prospective lender said that they declined to advance any funds to Bitwise. Now, both prospects talked to GV Wire on the record, but not for attribution. And of course, under the First Amendment, GV Wire has a right to talk to a source without naming them.
Yes.
That's scary because that's not a sign of a healthy business. If that's true, if these allegations accurately represent the behavior of the co-CEO of Bitwise Industries, that's another piece of a puzzle that if I was one of the families, if I was one of the people employed by Bitwise currently on furlough, I'm sending my resume to another 10 offices just seeing this story.
Yeah, it's not a good sign for the families involved. This is speculation on my part, but the next legal move could be, and again, could be bankruptcy. Bankruptcy protections, those words are oftentimes used together because that sets into a process to sort things out. It doesn't stop things, but it slows things down and moves the assets of a company into a court. Again, I'm not predicting that that's going to happen. I don't know for certain. But that is a possibility. And when that happens, things will slow down a little bit. That's not particularly good for the families that are affected.
So I've got a story here, and we'll get to it on the other side. This is from the Buffalo News. The headline, Bitwise goes bust. Training venture abruptly shuts down in Buffalo as it lays off all 900 of its U.S. workers. So we'll get into this story when we get back, but this is now national news. That's E. Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi. It's your afternoon drive at News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. If you are one of the employees of Bitwise, if you're a member of one of the families affected by this situation, we want to hear from you. We want to know what you are seeing, what you are expecting. Are these stories painting a grimmer picture than what you know from your firsthand experience? Or are you, as if it were me, tuning up the resume, reaching out to find out what else is out there? 490-5858, 800-776-5858. And if you want to go by a fake name on the air because you're trying not to burn bridges, that's totally okay. But if you're part of this Bitwise debacle, I'd really like to hear from you. We'll get into this Buffalo News story in just a couple of minutes. Right now, we do have an update of headlines with Liz Kern in the KMJ Newsroom.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now, here is my conversation with Jacob Null. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.
That would be us. I'm E. Curtis Johnson. That is Philip Teresi. We tend to think of Bitwise as a local success story, a local company, which it is. I mean, kind of originated here. We forget sometimes that they have, you know, ventures across the country. And as Philip has discovered here, the news is breaking in Buffalo, where Bitwise had another operation that has been shut down.
Yeah, BuffaloNews.com, Buffalo, New York, starts with the headline, Bitwise goes bust. Training venture abruptly shuts down in Buffalo as it lays off all of its 900 U.S. workers. CJ Banks is the vice president for Bitwise Buffalo. This is a diversity-focused workforce development initiative that had been announced just a year ago, March of 2022. Mr. Banks is one of the approximately 900 folks who was furloughed, although Buffalo News simply says Banks was among those who lost their jobs.
He's the vice president of the Buffalo operation. That is a significant fact in this story.
The opening line of the actual story, CJ Banks was shocked when he learned Monday that Bitwise Industries would be furloughing its workforce. He said, I found out about this when everyone else did. We had no warning and no information. We also were not given any more information. I don't have anything negative to say because I don't have enough information to even know what took place. Buffalo News goes on to say, firstly, the region's losing a training initiative that was counted on to help ease worker shortages and to put workers from underserved communities onto a path towards good-paying jobs in the tech field. More than 60 local workers had gone through the training program, and another 70 were supposed to start this week, but Banks says those sessions have been canceled. The second major point, it puts a halt to the plans to renovate a vacant building on Sycamore Street in Buffalo that Bitwise had planned to turn into their local office. When the developer, a man named Douglas Jamal, learned of the news out of Fresno, he halted work on the renovation project. Now, Banks, vice president for Bitwise Buffalo, was told his furlough would be temporary, but he says he's already trying to help those that had been in the Bitwise Buffalo training program find assistance elsewhere. He says the news is shocking. He reiterates that he had no advance notice. The developer working on this would-be headquarters says, if you don't have a tenant that's going to pay rent, you can't continue. they had signed a lease agreement with a, I want to say it was about $1 million in renovations, and he stopped the 25% mark because of what was coming out of Fresno. They say that the expansion into Buffalo was made possible through financial support through the M&T Bank, the 43 North Foundation, the Ralph C. Wilson Jr. Foundation, and Highmark Blue Cross Blue Shield of Western New York. At the time, the 43 North Foundation chairman, Bill Maggio, told the Buffalo News that he thought Bitwise would be a phenomenal fit in Buffalo's tech and startup ecosystem, which had already been expanding. For the last 2 days, Banks, the local vice president, has been trying to figure out how to continue the mission, but he's worried.
Well, then it goes deeper, too. There was an $80 million investment funded by Caper Center, Motley Fool, which, despite the name, is a major investment operative, Goldman Sachs Asset Management, and Citibank. The money from these big-name investors was supposed to add more validity to Bitwise's model, says Banks earlier this year. However, investment banks such as Goldman Sachs had been hit hard by the lack of deal-making occurring after the Federal Reserve aggressively raised interest rates to stunt inflation. Bitwise co-CEO Jake Sobral told the Fresno Bee late Monday that the decision reached by the company's board at an emergency meeting was forced by several critical financial transactions that did not materialize or materialized unfavorably.
This is, I got to go back to the developer here. 25% of the way done with a $4 million development project. He says that unless he feels assured of Bitwise's future, he's got to look for a new tenant. Quote, if they come back and I feel comfortable with their comeback plan, I would proceed. If not, you're going to have to show me, but I would proceed with caution. Needless to say, the red flags are up.
Yeah. It hurts the small people, too. Maybe that's the wrong phrase to use, but this was an operation that was, you know, helping people train. Classes had already started for 70 people that didn't go forward. And one of them, quote, says, I'm a Buffaloan who's been here for 20 years, and my passion for the mission that Bitwise put forth when I signed on is something that I truly believe in then and still believe in. Bitwise was a vehicle for the mission, but it's not the only way to get there. Even without a paycheck, my goal is to continue to serve individuals that we've already approached and given an opportunity to be a place these people with partners and put them in a position where they're on a path to success. That's difficult to continue that path of success when everything has just come to a grinding halt.
So again, we come back to the lawsuit that's been filed here today in Fresno County and the claims of Jake Sobral calling around trying to drum up some short-term cash at insane interest rates. You've been a manager. You've turned businesses around. You've managed budgets for a long time. You know what it is to sit down and look at a bottom line. Obviously lacking the paperwork from Bitwise, lacking a glimpse into their books, this is all guesswork, and some of it is based on really rumors, but substantiated rumors. Does Bitwise bounce back from this? I mean, based on what we do know, is there a clear path, or is there going to have to be some kind of Hail Mary moment here?
Well, this is just one possibility, and I can't prognosticate this. This is just general business terms based on what you've asked me about.
Yeah.
When the lawyers get involved, everything comes to a grinding halt.
Yeah.
Because assets are about to be frozen, as I mentioned a few minutes ago. This is oftentimes when a company will file bankruptcy because there are protections under bankruptcy. I am not predicting that that's what Bitwise is going to do. I'm just simply saying that that is a possibility in these kinds of things. For the workers who have been furloughed, it does not look positive. It does not look like that there is a solution anytime soon. Because if nothing else, assets are being frozen. There's apparently not enough money coming in, which is why the furloughs took place in the and were announced yesterday. So money's going to get even tighter. And obviously in that kind of a financial environment, you're not going to pay workers. You're not producing anything anymore. So there's no short-term solution in a general sense to any of this. This has the makings of a long, drawn-out financial legal slog. That's just the way I view it.
For the furloughed families, am I being cynical when I say if I was in CJ Banks's shoes, if I was in the shoes of the 900 families around the country, I'd be sending out resumes. I'd be making phone calls and trying to figure out what my next move is. The amount of negative reporting here, at a certain point, I mean, am I crazy to think you got to look out for number one when stories like this start to emerge, or am I putting them into am I putting them into their grave prematurely?
No, it's not the grave. It's reality. The reality is there's not going to be a quick solution, I believe, just my opinion, for these unfortunate furloughed workers. They're going to have to find something else because jobs coming back anytime soon at Bitwise, not likely.
Let's see, Curtis Johnson. I'm Philip Teresi. This is your Afternoon Drive at News Talk 580, 1059 KMJ and KMJNow.com.
Our house is a mess. Come on in. I'm Amber Wallen, internet comedian and host of your new favorite podcast, Fly on the Wallen.
Okay, that's pretty presumptuous to assume that this is going to be their favorite podcast, by the way.
Anyway, that wasp that you just heard interrupt me is my husband.
And co-host, Benjamin Wallen.
Listen in as we discuss relationships and keeping our sweet baby kid alive.
Fly on the Wallen, wherever you listen.
News Talk 580 and 105.9 KMJ. This is the Afternoon Drive. That is Philip Teresi. My name is E. Curtis Johnson. We've been talking about the news that's come out with Bitwise more this afternoon. Financial holders calling in their place markers, and it's not going to come to any short conclusion anytime soon. It's bad news speculatively. For the Bitwise workers, it does not appear that the furlough is going to be lifted anytime soon.
Is the smart move at this point for Bitwise to seek bankruptcy protection? If these allegations are true, if this lawsuit has an iota of merit, all big ifs, if. Is that the next thing that we can expect to see?
I'm going to answer this in general terms.
Yeah, of course.
As general as possible. It is likely in these kinds of situations where lenders and asset holders start calling in their markers, start protecting their assets and their investments, the people that are in control oftentimes seek bankruptcy protection.
Yeah.
That is a large possibility that could come sometime soon. And that in and of itself does not mean that there's anything nefarious going on.
No.
Sometimes the public assumes, oh, well, they filed for bankruptcy, then there must have been shady things happening. No, that is not the case. The people file bankruptcy for a number of reasons.
Oh, yeah.
If for nothing else other than they're just insolvent, and all insolvent means is when things are due, when bills are due and salaries are paid, there isn't enough in the kitty to pay it. It's as simple as that. it's no more different than the average consumer in America who gets paid on the 31st and they run out of money on the 28th.
Yeah.
That happens to businesses also.
Guys, we will keep you up to date with the latest information as it becomes available. There is an increasing circle of interest in this. I'm seeing the Fresno Bee picking up the story and running with it. Our news partner, Fox 26, has been out in front of it. And I'm going to keep my fingers crossed for good news. I'd really like to see Jake and Irma step up and talk about what's happening, what the responses to these various claims are, and what the plan is to move forward and to get 900 people across the country, at least a third of whom are in Central California, back to work.
That would be the human thing to see. I would be surprised if anyone from Bitwise says anything. And that is neither good nor bad. It's just having an understanding of business operations when things get tough like this. I would be very shocked if anybody from Bitwise says anything at this point to the media.
I suspect you're right, and that's just on an advice of counsel. I have decided not to say anything further. Nevertheless, you've got a lot of families that were looking to you as something more than just a paycheck. There's a human side here. More to come. We will let you guys know what we learn as we learn it. When we get back, we got a couple more stories to get to, including one of those occasions when I happen to agree with Governor Newsom.
What?
Also, we're seeing insurers, specifically homeowners insurance providers like State Farm, refusing to sign new policies in California. We'll talk about what that's all about. It's E. Curtis Johnson and Philip Teresi on your afternoon drive at News Talk 580, 105.9 KMJ, online at kmjnow.com.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.